Mr. Darren Haynes, Flames from 80 Feet. How are you?
Hello, Ryan. I'm doing all right. I'm a little stressed that my Christmas shopping hasn't really started yet, but there's plenty of time, right?
You can still get those Hathaway jerseys from the Dome before the 25th, I think. You just got one more home game, Fanatic. That's the move, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if my wife would maybe necessarily have heard of them, but hey, you know, stocking stuffer.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes opposites attract, Hansy. That's what I found. I'm married to someone from the other hemisphere, and who probably couldn't tell you what an interference call is for on the ice. So
yeah, I know there's a lot of HGTV goes on in my household on game
HGTV.
Nights when I'm not at home.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to The Bachelor / The Bachelorette, but that used to be like every night of the year. I don't know if they're in a break or something, but the remote battle put on hold for a bit at our household. The Wiggles are winning out. The Wiggles have they own the top spot on the podium right now. We haven't chatted for a week or so. Let's get up to speed. The re-signed Chad Johnson, you know, give him $1,000,000 max term. I don't think it got that crazy, but that's three starts in a row where he's allowed four goals. One where he got the opportunity to wear a ball cap for the third period, not his helmet. This has not been a great run. I don't know that he's been bad, but the team certainly hasn't been great, and they've come back to earth here after that six-game winning streak.
Yeah, and they're going to come back to earth. I mean, that's what happens with winning streaks is they're followed by not winning. That's the nature of it. So, you know, I talked to Chad Johnson after the game against, refresh my memory, the two home losses. One was Tampa Bay and
Columbus on a Friday.
The Columbus game. And he was not fazed by it. He was just like kind of rolling his eyes at kind of the way the pucks had gone in over those two nights where there were seeing eye shots, like the one that hit somebody in front, then hit Weidman and went in the top corner. I mean, I was thinking last night there was another one that I don't think he saw, and I'm like, that's probably four or five that the first time he saw the puck was when he was fishing it out of the back of the net. You know, sometimes those, as he said, sometimes those hit a shin and go in the corner, and sometimes those hit a shin and go in the net, and that's the way it's going now. Make no mistake, you know, a few of the others, this is not Chad Johnson at his best, and he would probably be the first to tell you that. And, you know, you had to expect him to come back to earth a little bit. But, you know, I think it's easy to look at the number of goals against that. You know, I think there's a few more things at play there. But I'm with you. And you mentioned you just had the question about Brian Elliott. I think it's a no-brainer. I think you got a great first step for Brian Elliott to get him a victory the other night, and I would go right back with them, no question, on Friday night. And I'm curious to see if Glenn Gulson is thinking along the same lines.
Yeah, sorry, the alert there from my email. Apparently it's 9:30, so sorry about that. So you're saying yes, Elliott Friday, and you think it's a majority take, or do you think you're in the minority there?
I'm not really sure, but I know that you have him off a win, and there was some there was a few people that I noticed that just didn't, you know, having conversations and whatnot that were a little bit surprised he didn't go right back to Elliott, considering he won the night before last night. But as I saw it, look, this is a guy who you're really trying to kind of rebuild his confidence. You can just watching him play, this is not the same Brian Elliott that we've seen over the years, that we even saw back in the preseason. He looks like he's fighting it, and so you need to kind of take it slowly with him. So you got him the win. You didn't throw him back in, which you knew was going to be a very difficult game to win last night. I mean, this is a tough building. It's a tough team. They went to the Stanley Cup final last year. So you're kind of rebuilding Elliott's confidence. You got him that win. Let him enjoy that. This is a much tougher game last night. They throw Johnson back in. He doesn't pull it off, but I don't think winning should have really been a realistic expectation anyway. And now you have a chance to go back with Elliott against a beatable team and maybe get him some good feelings at home, because that's where it's really been a struggle for Elliott, because when he got all those starts early in the season when the team was playing so poorly, a lot of them were at home. And so I think that's the move, is you continue this kind of rebuilding of Brian Elliott, and it's a great chance to do it on Friday night.
I'd agree. You had a good tweet last night on Garnet Hathaway. He's been in and out of the lineup, but the interesting thing is when he's been in, they've won. They're now 7-0 in their last seven games that Hathaway's played, meaning he was out against Tampa, he was out against Columbus, and he was out last night against San Jose. That's interesting, but I don't know that there's necessarily causation as much as coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, I followed that up later because I had a few people kind of reading way too much into that. And like, look, okay, the Flames don't win that game last night if Garner Hathaway is in the lineup. Like, let's be serious for a moment. But what is the debate? The debate is, does he insert, and when he's in the lineup, is he bringing more to the table right now than the alternatives? Okay, well, what are the alternatives? Well, the guy that he's been in and out with lately is Lance Boma. And I would argue that absolutely he does. I think from a pure analytics perspective, and I had a little text chat with Pat Steinberg last night, and he said Boma brings more. There's more shot creation there. There's more shot attempt creation by Lance Boma, but it surely can't be that much of a slam dunk that nominal difference isn't maybe made up for all the other things that Garner Hathaway does. And that is a lot of the qualities that Matthew Tkachuk brings to the lineup, less the offensive side, right? So I like that comparison, not the offensive side, but what Tkachuk does to get under the other team's skin. That's exactly what Hathaway does. And you want an example of the impact Garner Hathaway can have is the last time they played San Jose at home. He had been in the NHL for 8 days. Gets in the lineup, gets into a fight with Brent Burns. He drew 4 penalties that night against the Sharks at the Dome back in March. This is the kind of impact that he can have. It doesn't turn a 4-1 loss into a 4-1 win like last night, but is he better than your alternatives? I think that's where the real debate is. And so you wonder if maybe he was banged up, or was this just a case of they're trying to get Lance Boma going? Who knows, but I would expect him to be right back in the lineup again on Friday also.
Yeah, make no mistake, he's not an analytics darling at all. He's a -8 in terms of the Corsi 4 percentage, or his relative Corsi, his relative Fenwick is a -10. I don't like to use those terminology a lot because I think that just sounds like Chinese to a lot of our listeners, but point being, they've been worse than average when he's been on the ice in terms of the shot attempts differential. But that said, you do mention a lot of things that aren't quantifiable, or at least we haven't been able to do so with any accuracy. He seems to find his way onto your TV screen a ton, even though he's playing less than 10 minutes most nights. And I suppose that's the challenge of balancing out a lineup.
Yeah, and if you're, apologies for reopening an old wound for Flames fans, but if the discussion is, are you better with Paul Byron on the fourth line or Garnet Hathaway? Well, then you're better with Paul Byron.
I think it was Brian Bolig or Paul Byron. Excuse me. Yeah, that was the great debate.
You know what I mean? But if that's your question. But right now, well, what are the alternatives? Freddie Hamilton, Lance Boma. Well, you want to look in the A and see what your alternatives are? Well, Hunter Shinkarak didn't really blow us away with his NHL time this year. Lyndon Bay is the top scorer in the Stockton, and he didn't blow anyone away. So I think right now, Garnet Hathaway is a guy that fits into your top 12. And maybe when this team is ready to be a contender and to win and are expected to make the playoffs, not just expected to be a bubble team, maybe Garnet Hathaway is either in the minors or he's your 14th forward. But right now, I think he's in your top 12.
Yeah, or he's a better player because he's only in what, his second full season, not even a full season under his belt yet, but 25. We'll see. Moving forward, thoughts on where this club is at? That 6-game run was a bit misleading in the sense that, yes, they were playing good hockey, but they ended up finishing that run in first place in the Pacific, which was crazy because if you sorted by winning percentage, they were still out of the top 8. So I think there was this sense of accomplishment amongst the fan base that wasn't there yet. I was sort of putting the brakes on people on Twitter saying, oh, they're leading the division. So, well, hang on. Other teams have 4 or 5 games in hand. They're not really leading the division with any sort of rational thought here. Now here they are 9th in the division in terms of winning percentage. They're 7th with 2 teams behind them by 1 point, each with 3 games in hand. What's it going to take for this group to make the playoffs moving forward? And how reasonable is it given that I don't know that Dallas is going to be great this year? I don't know that, there seems to be a clear divide from top 9 in the rest of the West.
Yeah, the one thing that I'll agree with you there is, for the longest time, we kind of just said basically making the playoffs in the Pacific would require a top 3 finish in the Pacific. But I don't think that's the case anymore. And especially the Dallas Stars are a team that kind of has kind of change that equation where you there is a little bit of an alternate path to the playoffs now in that wild cards where I thought those two would have been gobbled up by Central Division teams. So there is opportunity there. You know, where is this team at? You know, you go back to that pivot game, and that's that game in Minnesota where they everything kind of seemed to turn, and you know, again, a bunch of factors went on in there where they had a whole bunch of practice time. They kind of were at that 6-week mark under Gullitson. The system started to click and all those things, the star player started going. So if you go back to that point, they're still 12-6-1 over that stretch. So, you know, continuing, and I think that's even probably a bit ambitious for what the level of play they could play the rest of the season. But, you know, they're going to keep, you know, moving up, winning percentage wise, if they can kind of win 12 out of your every 20 games or 12 out of your 13 out of every 20, they're going to be in that mix absolutely by the end of the year. So, I mean, it's easy to get hung up and, you know, all these, they've lost their last two at home and then that game last night, but hey, the Ducks went and lost on the back end of back-to-backs 5-1 last night. That happens, especially on the road. So Tampa Bay came in, good goaltender. Columbus came in as the best team in the NHL. It's not your mom and dad's Columbus Blue Jackets either. So those are hardly two blemishes that look really bad on the resume. So as Will's pointed out, they've got a soft spot in the schedule coming up now where the Ducks really are the only team in the run of, what, 8 opponents that are a team that would make you shudder a little bit. This is going to be a real curious point where you don't want to go 4-4. If these guys are legitimate playoff, they want to be in that conversation, they can't go 4-4 here.
I'd agree.
You need 5 wins, maybe an OT loss in there. You kind of need 11 out of 16 points, I'd say.
Go get some points, absolutely. I think it'll make for a real interesting new year because the trade deadline all of a sudden pops up pretty quick. And then what are you looking at in terms of needs for this hockey club? What do you do with expiring contracts? It's been easy decisions, at least at last year's deadline for Brad Treliving, because they weren't going to be a playoff team. But what do you do with a Dennis Wiedemann at the deadline this year? What do you do with other guys that are a year closer to leaving for nothing? It will be curious. Tyler Watherspoon, we have to reopen this can of conversation from months past. Why isn't he playing? Do we have a good reason? Is Joakim Pekka clearly better? I've been very disappointed in the big Finn, who I suppose is their number 6 defenseman, but hasn't really looked anything like the guy that I thought was rock solid down the stretch the last 20 games of last year.
Yeah, no, I think the drop-off, if there would be any, it's not going to be enough to why you have to, like, that's why you have these guys. That's why you brought up Tyler Weatherspoon. I mean, Tyler Weatherspoon was playing top pairing in Stockton. He's playing top pairing with Rasmus Anderson. So he's a guy that what's the strength of his game? Defensive play. What's been struggling a little bit for this team lately? Defensive play. I was shocked he never drew into the lineup last night because that's exactly the scenario. You have the bad travel, you have a tough back-to-back, and you have guys that are candidates to come out of the lineup. So it's a head scratcher for me. I thought Weatherspoon was just fine, and it played quite well when he got his NHL time last year. So I really don't even know what to say on that one. And again, with great curiosity, I look ahead to Friday night to see if they going to get in this guy in the lineup. Gullitson has hinted that they don't want him sitting for long. Well, my goodness, he watched 6 hours of hockey in San Jose yesterday. He should have been in one of those games. This is a guy that is still young enough that he needs to be playing. So let's get him playing. So Vancouver, I think, would be an ideal opponent for him to come up and play against. Hey, he played against them in the playoffs 2 years ago, right? People forget about that. So I think that would be the move. Hathaway's a move. Elliott's a move. I guess we'll find out at practice whether I go 0-3 on those.
Yeah, I would love to see all those moves in terms of the additions to the lineup. We will see. Have you ever got a good sense organizationally what's going on? Is there more than meets the eye with Weatherspoon? Because it's just absolutely baffling. I want to look back at his career, and I think it was the first full season of Bob Hartley. They had the lockout shortened year, then first full Hartley. He came up and played down the stretch and looked really good, suffered a shoulder injury. The next year, slow start because of that shoulder injury. He goes to the minors. They call him up in the new year. They play Corey Potter in front of him for what felt like half a year. Then they get to the playoffs and suddenly play him, a guy who'd hardly played because Potter was on the ice. Once they get in the playoffs, they're asking him to play. And then last year again, when he's up, he's eating popcorn. And this year, he's up, he's playing popcorn. I mean, I don't know that doesn't this read, if you're reading tea leaves, there has to be something going on behind the scenes where these two parties aren't on the same page.
Well, he didn't have the trust. Didn't have the trust of Hartley. It was easy for Hartley to play him when he played him that long stretch a few seasons ago because they were long gone from the playoffs. They weren't in the playoff contention. And it's easier to play your kids then. But certainly Hartley didn't trust him and only played him because he had to play him, and he ran out of options in the playoffs there. So that was always an issue. I know early in his career here, the criticism was he wasn't assertive enough in terms of coming in and stealing a job, winning a job. They wanted him to kind of come in and just secure a job, not just kind of expect one or just fit in. And so you really wonder if his time with this organization is running out, given the number of defensemen that are still in Stockton and are on the way. This is really a defining point in Tyler Wilson's career. And you know, from all accounts, you know, he's done what he's had to do going back down to the AHL to start this season. Because when he signed that nominal contract for a very small amount, I thought that almost was a clincher that he would start the season with this team. Because that's exactly kind of what they needed, was a small salary. He's just making above the NHL minimum. But it hasn't worked out as I thought it would. And again, is he just here to allow Kulak to play? Maybe they bring Kulak back to play. Again, really curious to know. So I'm going to try and get down to practice tomorrow, and hopefully we can find out some answers to some of these questions.
Sniff that out, sir. Enjoy your Christmas break. I'll be back in the new year. Always great chatting with you. Flamesfrom80feet.ca. Keep up the great work.
All right. Have a great Christmas, my friend.
Darren Haynes.